I'm always looking for what will enter my life as positive. For instance, I came in and Rebecca came and started reading. That reading spoke volume to me. You know, I'm always looking out for what I will add to my life. Just think about that. I have rotten thoughts like you do. Sometimes I say what I should not say. Sometimes I don't do what I need to do. And you feel bad. But I don't have to carry the guilt forever. Jesus went to the cross, died for my sin. And I can actually welcome some of you over here. You never known what it means to be forgiven. You just gloss over things. You have never really asked God to forgive you doing something wrong. Because you are Mr. Perfect or you are Mr. Great. You don't do anything wrong. But it's such a relief that God, I'm sorry, and you know you are forgiving. The book was not read for me, it was read for you, right? Take a look. You've not always been a good person. I won't lie to you in church. You had some rotten, bad behaviors. I don't mean presently. Some of us presently. And how dare you come to God? But how dare you challenge me? Jesus has shed his blood for me. Can you clap your hands for Jesus for that? You know, many of us don't understand sin. But we understand when others hurt us. Am I right? Oh, he jilted me. He gave me breakfast. Oh, he talked nasty to me. Man, he took my money. How could he do that? But in the midst of all that, there are things ourselves we are doing to people, right? That we are not fair, that we are not right. And we gloss over it and say, no, I'm just human, right? But when you do to me, you're just wicked. And we all do that. And how do we account for that? Thank God for Jesus. He shed his blood. And he said something about if you are a debtor in Roman Empire then, when they capture you for your debt, I wish that would happen in Nigeria with all the loans up. Some of you need to go to prison once in a while to know that you should not be borrowing money anymore. And then we write by the door of your prison cell, 50,000 times 10 loan apps. And then until you pay it off, those days you pay before you leave the prison. But Jesus came, paid our sinful debt. Let's clap our hands for Jesus one more time. How many were here last week, Sunday? Can I see your hands? You sure? We discussed prosperity of the wicked. And David was very uncomfortable by his question. I said, okay, so you mean that? You know, and I understand that. I want to hang you first before I release you. So today, we are going to go to the prosperity of the righteous. See, I want to prosper, so I want to do well. Okay, take your Bible with me. Let's go to Psalm. How many of you are not here last week? You are not here last Sunday. We did something interesting. Where did you go? You missed service. You missed drinks. You missed donuts. You missed friends in the house. Okay, all right. You're welcome. What was our reading last week? What did we read last week? Psalm 73. It's a beautiful psalm about, let's look at it quickly. Let's just read it. Let's go and read it. Truly God is good to Israel. Can we read NLT? We just read. Let's just read it to revise last week. Truly God is good to Israel, to those whose hearts are pure. Go on. But as for me, I almost lost my footing. My feet were slipping and I was almost gone. Why? For I envied the proud when I saw them prosper despite their wickedness. They seem to live such painless lives. Their bodies are also healthy and strong. They don't have troubles like other people. They are not plagued with problems like everyone else. They wear pride like a jeweled necklace and clothe themselves with cruelty. These fat cats are like that. This fat cat have everything their heart could ever wish for. They scoff and speak. I told you about one lady who bought 5 scarves for 15,000 pounds sterling. That's about 18 million naira now. Next verse. They boast against the very heavens and their walls stretch throughout the earth. And so the people are dismayed and confused, drinking in all their words on Facebook. They have 24 million followers on Twitter now, X. What does God know? They ask. Does the Most High Heaven know what is happening? Does God care in heaven? Look at these wicked people enjoying a life of ease while their riches multiply, while they are still sleeping. Did I keep my heart pure for nothing? Why am I coming to church? Why am I trying to be right? To keep myself for innocent for no reason. Next verse. I get nothing but trouble all day long. Every morning brings me pain. Next verse. If I really spoken this way to others, I would have been it to your people. So I try to understand why the wicked prosper. What a difficult task it is, because there are so many ways to prosper wickedly. Cocaine. Have you seen the guy recently that one of the big guys of cryptocurrency has now been in America, been prosecuted? How many of you know the guy? Oh, you don't hear the news anymore. It's now, they pick him up in Bahamas. You guys, you don't hear news? Oh, there's no credit on your phone. Okay, I understand. Then I went to your sanctuary, oh God, and I finally understood the destiny of the wicked. So that's why we came last Sunday to do that. Church will give us some answers. Let's keep. Truly, you put them on a slippery path, all these guys, and send them sliding over the cliff to destruction. Next verse. In an instant, they are destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. When you arise, O Lord, you will laugh at their silly ideas as a person laughs at dreams in the morning like horse puppy. Then I realized that my heart was bitter. I was envious of them. And I was all torn up inside because I didn't have enough money. I was so foolish and ignorant. I must have seemed like a senseless animal to you, thinking like this. Yet, I still belong to you, Lord. You hold my right hand. You guard me with your counsel. Leading me to what? I didn't hear your voice. Leading me to what? Let's keep reading. Whom have I in heaven but you? I desire you more than anything on earth. That was David now confessing his needfulness of God. My head may fail, and my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart. Is mine forever. Clap your hands for Jesus. But last week, something came up. While we were talking and asking questions, Boniface, I guess he'll be somewhere today. He's not around because he has what assignment to do. Boniface said, can we read 2:26 Ecclesiastes? How many of you have read Ecclesiastes? Pastor Kilonjebe. Is he on Facebook? You never read Ecclesiastes. How many of you have read Ecclesiastes? Can I see your answer? Can I see your answer very well? Read Ecclesiastes. What's happening? How many of you have never read Ecclesiastes? Okay, thank you. How many of you have read Ecclesiastes? Can I come and ask you what you read there? Who can tell me the summary? Okay, let's read some. Relax. By 5 o'clock, I'll finish today. Relax, I'm just joking. Let's go to Ecclesiastes in Message Bible. Fantastic there. Verse 1. Ecclesiastes 1:1. Give us verse 1 in Message Bible. These are the words of the quest, looking for something. David's son and king in Jerusalem. Smoke! Interesting. Nothing but smoke. That's what the question says. There's nothing to anything. It's all smoke. Interesting. What's there to show for a lifetime of work? A lifetime of working your fingers to the bone? Let's keep reading. One generation goes its way, the next one arrives. But nothing changes. It's business as usual for old planet Earth. The sun comes up, the sun goes down, and does it again and again, the same old round. The wind blows out, the wind blows north. Around and around and around, it blows, blowing this way, then that wildly erratic wind, stupid wind. All the rivers flow to the sea, but the sea never fills up. The river keeps flowing to the same old place. Start all over again and do it again. Everything boring. By the way, when you feel boring, you are feeling life. Life is boring. For instance, put your hands here. You hear? On the chest. It's very boring. Before you are born, when you are about 10 weeks in your mother's womb, it began. That's very boring. Let's let your heart have some excitement. The doctor is laughing. The doctor is laughing already. The doctor is laughing. See, what is it? Excitement. Hospital, yeah. So, boring is life. Tell your neighbor, boring is life. Ask your neighbor, are you bored? Welcome to life. What was will be again? What happened will happen again? There's nothing new on that side. Year after year, it's the same old thing. But I have a news for you. That was written before Jesus came. After Jesus came, if anyone is in Christ, it's a brand new person. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You need to read Ecclesiastes to really understand what life and this normal life we are all chasing. Richest man in the world, 14 years was Billy Gates. Then after he dropped out. And then there's this mosque now or church. And I saw a news. He said he lost 240 billion one day or something. Oh boy, it's the same thing. Lose, gain, gain, lose. Lose, gain, gain, lose, gain. Lose, gain, gain, lose, gain. Lose, gain, 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 lose. When will it end? And they bring you to church for the last time. Inside the coffin. Then everybody will be shedding tears that they never had to shed for you before. And then everybody looks very solemn, wearing black. Then they put your body in a casket at the front. If you ever made it to church, then, you know, as a pastor, I conduct that once in a while. Then we go to the burial ground. Then you see people tearing apart. Wah, woo, wah, wee, woo, yeah. And when they say, ashes for ashes, they want to fall inside, but they won't fall. Let me make you laugh. Moment we do our finish, then we head toward reception. Then, God. It's amazing. Can you imagine? Well, your turn has come, your turn has gone. If you notice, you go to graveyard, you only see one line for the whole of life. You say, 1901-1989. The whole of life, dash. Boom. Oh, by the way, let's not be depressed now. Let's start the service right. I'm just describing life as it is. And that's why you came to church, because you just don't want life as normal. Let's go to John 10:10, what Jesus said, and then we're going to take off from there. John 10:10, give us a message Bible. John 10:10, a thief is only here to steal, to kill, and destroy. So this world is a mess because there was a thief. His name is the devil. Can I hear your voice? Everybody read that verse with me. The last part. I came so they can have real and eternal life. Let me hear your voice now. More and better life than they ever dreamed of. Today, when you see churches around, you will think that Jesus said, I came that you might have religion. Or, let's make it easier. I came that you might go to meetings. Programs, conferences, seminar. Go. Dress up. Usher, singer. Go back. So what are you getting in church? Hallelujah. Pastor, what's wrong with you this morning? Nothing. I'm just talking about life. He said, I give you more and better life. Real and eternal. Isn't that wonderful? Pastor, I really don't care about anything. I was dragged here this morning. No problem. Just listen. The wicked makes money, tons of money, and they live like that. And we that are not that wicked, we get mad at them for making money like that. Tinubu, Abubu, only cases now. I took all of them. Do you know what? 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 You will only give account for your life, not for Tinubu's life. So tell your neighbor, live your life well now. Nobody else will give you account for you. Okay, so one of the ways to live life very well, we have just read about, don't go like the wealth of the wicked struggling. Can I even ask a question? Why wealth? Why all this prosperity? Everybody thinks it's just to enjoy. Ogao. And the bad thing is that you buy this phone now, very expensive, and by next year, another one is coming out. And they won't give you rest. I mean, a phone, 1 million, iPhone 13, right? And the next month, they say, iPhone 14 is out. And then they tell you everything that was not in iPhone 13. Huh? Look at iPhone 13. Let me make you laugh. I have a phone in my office. I've kept over the year. It was gold plated at the back. Can I tell you? iPhone 6 Plus. When I bought it, it was the king on the mountain. 128 gig. Then I saw one phone recently. 1 terabyte. 2 terabyte. Baloma stop. Baloma arrive. Ugao. So, this wealth, I know. Wealth can be relieved. So what's wealth for? Let's do some digging today. Honestly, sometimes it can be very confusing. Let's go to chapter 2, Ecclesiastes in NKJV. Take a look. Interesting. Take a look. 2:26 that we read last week. For God gives wisdom and knowledge and joy to a man who is good where? In his sight. But to the sinner, he gives the work of what? Gathering and collecting, that he may give it to him who is good before God. Whoa. Jeremiah, did you hear that? Are you good before God? Just thinking, how do you know you are good before God? Did God tell you you are good before him? Sorry. Right? He said, who's good in his sight? Good before God. So, that's a gathering, that's a collecting, that's a growing on. That, let me show you another one. 13:22 Proverbs. Let's see another one over there. It's interesting. Who's good before God? Maybe this one will tell us. 1:3. A good man leaves what? To his children. But the wealth of the sinner is not for the righteous. Whoa, interesting. It's getting really bogus now. Okay. So the wealth of the sinner, so the righteous, what makes the righteous qualify? Now I got a news for you. Who is a righteous person? I'm asking. Let me ask your neighbor, who's a righteous person? Go ahead. Ask your neighbor. If you don't ask, I'm coming to you to come and ask you what you get from your neighbor. That guy in brown, you're not talking to anybody. You are looking behind you. Have you asked the person, who's a righteous person? Ask that person, who's a righteous person? Ask her. Or ask him on the other side, who's a righteous person? You that in a white t-shirt, giraffing, white t-shirt, I saw you looking at the other side. Have you asked your neighbor, who's a righteous person? What did he say? Oh, this service is different. I get them to people, talk with them. What did he say? Righteous person. You are laughing over it, but not be a laughing matter in the future. Because if you're a sinner, righteous will take it from you. If you don't know what righteous is, how can you qualify there? You know, by the way, some of you think that we just come to church, open the Bible, we don't know what I'm talking about. You know, my few years on earth, I'm 61 this year. I've got born again about 40 something years ago. I've watched life, my mates, those who are before me, those who are below me. I watched it over the years. The truth of God's word comes to play later in life. Let me give you an example. My wife was talking about relationship. She got two cousins. They were crazy, looking for men, just jump all over the place. My wife was standing with, follow God and be right. They laugh at her because they didn't have all these boys. Today, 30 years later, one is dead. One needs money to survive. My wife will send her money. All the money she made then, gone. You know, how many of you plan to live whole the way? You plan to live long life. Be careful. Don't put your hands up quickly. It's good to die early. You know what? Because if you plant bad seed, the harvest will come. So if you die early, you won't see the harvest. So it's not good to want to live long life. Just die early so you escape all this trouble. You know? So no, the longer I live, the more I see now. Like, man, boy. The longer you live, the more you face the things that you never thought. For instance, you know, sometimes if you're in school, it's better you just school, you don't finish school. Because you finish school with pass. And you want to go to America to go and do ICT. They look at pass, they won't pass you. The things we do now affect our future. So if you plan to live a long life in our future, we must be ready to be thinking. You know, sometimes you guys, you know your problem? You think that you actually don't need God. You just come to church. You don't need God. You'll be amazed later. Oh boy. May you not look for God in your old age. May you find God earlier in life. Thank you for that amen over there. Clap your hands for her. There are people that go to camp, Pastor Adeboye's camp, old, tired, suffer so much, and are not looking for God in the latter part of their life. That's what Solomon said in that book, Ecclesiastes. Let's go and read it, chapter 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Let me find the verse for you so I can read it. Verse 9. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Guys, rejoice, enjoy yourself, go to parties, drink, pass out, come back home. Walk in the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes. But know that for all this thing, God will bring you to judgment. What's that judgment? You're going to reap what you sow. I'm not scaring you, I'm just telling you the truth. Boy. Young man. He called you young man. Young now. You see, if you just jump around, pregnant this girl, pregnant that girl, you come to see that in your old age, your children will be fighting themselves. Next verse. Therefore, my boy, remove sorrow from your heart. Put away evil from your flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. See all that? Now, one day you get old. Sorry, forgive me for saying this. All you get out, just flaunting your shape. One time, you'll be shapeless. Are you hearing me? They just pass you by, pick the younger ones. There's nothing as sorrowful as when you run around with men and in your old age, they all are bad on you. And they go for younger girls. There's nothing as frustrating as doing all kinds of deals in your younger days and don't get things right. And then you get to the old age, you cannot work adequately for your daily job. You cannot do things well except you cut corners somewhere. There's nothing like it. You see them area boys. They spend their younger days cutting corners. Next verse. Thank you. 12 verse 1, I meant. 12 verse 1. Let's go to 12 verse 1. Remember now your creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days will come and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. One day, some of you over here, you remember me. In 20 years' time. But I wish it would be a good remembrance in Jesus' name. Give us in Message Bible. Honor and enjoy your creator while you are still young, before the years take their toll and your vigor wanes. Do you know, I've seen people who just get married because of beauty. They get married because they had money, and then after a while, all that luster will have gone, all that gling, gling, gling will have gone. We're not back to it. How do you use it? There are better qualities of life than just what you see on the surface. How many of you grew up in a house where there's no honesty? There's deception. There are lies. There are anger, bitterness, pain. You can't buy that in the market, but it's actually affecting you bad. You cannot put it into quantity of money or something. If you know the financial toll of bitterness and hatred and laziness, it's unaccountable. But you don't have to go that way. Tell somebody beside you, you don't have to go that way. So there is a place for the righteous to do well in life. Now don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that life is easy. Don't get me wrong. Let's look at our Bible. I want to show you some the right guys who did well in the Bible. Genesis 24 verse 1. Take a look. 24 verse 1. I love this verse. How many of you plan to live old? Can I see your hands now? Very well. I'm not sure. Somebody said, Pastor, I will live old. I pray for crop failure for all the bad ones. You know, if I sow any bad seed, God can give me, and that's forgiveness of God. He can help you clear all the bad crop failure. Hello? Let's go. Now, Abraham was old. Was old. I've seen some old men. Oh, man, I remember some old men in my life. There's nothing as bad as a broke and broken old man or old woman. There's nothing as bad. One of my friends years ago, before I met her, she was PZ manager in Lagos. She was going all over the world. She was into fashion designing before this fashion designing now. She was like a European woman. She goes to France. She goes anywhere. Then after a while, she left her job. She was retired. She was in her 50s when I met her in my 20s in Lagos. She's in heaven today, Mrs. Williams, my friend. And I went to her house. I talked about Jesus, about life. And she got born again. And I said, what about the Holy Spirit? He said, today let's go to my house. We got to their house, button everywhere, kind of thing. See, walking around. She got me there. Her husband was off her because her husband was just a flat, you know. So she was there. And then I gave her the word of God. She was so hungry for the word of God because she had spent all her lifetime not doing quite well. I mean, she had money, she had material things. Her house was great. She owned the house. And I started teaching her in her 50s. And then she had some couple of investments and started losing. She was not doing quite well. But thank God, I'll take the word of God and teach her and show her what to do. She had only one child. And they fought like hyenas. They fight. I said, calm down. You're only your child. He said, no, the girl's not. And I begged both of them. Try. She was very powerful. God is helping her. She's going on with the word of God. Every time I go to Lagos, she said, Tunde, come and sit down. We'll talk to the word of God. That's really. One day I got to her house, she was crying. He said, Tunde, you know what? Opposite my house, I saw the man that lived there died. And his children come. They came and they buried and they carried his casket. Who will carry my home when I die? The only girl I have will fight like mad. Then, suddenly, things are going bad. She was not making it so much. She was not making it so much. And one day I was in her house. I said, Mama, you don't have to die like this in your 70s. You know what? You got a house. You got a house there. You got a house there. Sell that one over there. And then you can live. She was telling the old papa, say, don't hold to it. You are already old. Sell the house and live the rest part of your life well. I never asked her for kobo. I gave her financial advice. Somebody, one young man was hanging around her to collect her money. Finally, she found out. She said, you don't know. You should go and see Tunde Abeokuta. Go and see Tunde. The only regret I had was that at the end of her life, she was begging me to come to Abeokuta. I didn't have time to go and pick her. To come to my house. When I met her, I had no house. I was not married. Now, she could see. She came to my own house. I built over the years inside and over there. She just saw me making progress. At the beginning, she was fighting me. What was wrong with you? You don't know anything. Later, she would say, Tunde, you are right too. Tunde, you are right too. Tunde, you are right too. Another one I can tell you. Old people. Old people. Oh man, they had money. Pie. Their dining room is bigger than your daddy's parlor. Yeah, what I just said. Forgive me for saying that. I mean, their dining room. I see all kinds of plates. You see giant rooms. Man. Properties everywhere. One of the major army generals was using their house for bank in Lagos. Had money everywhere. Two kids. But they live a wrecked life. The first one died. They smashed iron bar on his head. The second one died sometimes ago. And they have practically nothing left. I learned my lesson. I watched all of them. I said, I don't want to be old like that. Another old man I know, man was rich, man, was great. And would give other people that old money. Was living in GRA. The day he died, he just sat down in his parlor. In his almost 80, just sat down and left this planet. Like that. When he died, children are not crying. How are we going to bury our daddy? He had enough money to bury himself. Are you hearing me? Abraham was old, well advanced in age. And the Lord had blessed Abraham in how many things? Tell yourself, that's going to be my story. You plan to live old? Huh? Blessed. How blessed is he? Verse 34. Come and see the manager of his house reporting about Abraham. He said, I'm Abraham's servant. Look at next verse. And the Lord has blessed my master greatly. He's now over 100. And he has become what? Great. And he has given him flocks and herds and silver and gold. And he has retinue of servants, both male and female. He had in his house, born in his house, 318 trained servants. How many of you? You grew up with house girl in your house. Can I see your hands up? Come on now. Do you hear me? How many of you? You grew up with house girls in your house. Your dad and mommy, they have house girls. How many of you? Your mom had 5 house girls. Say, cousin, come. Abraham had 318. Boy. I'm trying to paint a picture. I want you big and bigger as you go on. Are you hearing me? You know why I'm here today? I want your life not just to be back descending and going down as you go down the years. And you can do something about it. You know, I don't live my life as a pastor. Mm-mm. I live as a Christian first. I've seen enough not to want to copy people. I don't want to be like one of these rich pastors who just collect people's money and deal with life miserably with them. I don't want that kind of church where people will come to church and be groaning. No way, I don't want that. The older I get, the better I want to get with my life. And don't mind you too, you are getting older every day. Are not true? You never said, how old are you? 21 years new. No, it's 21 years old. He had riches. Give us in NIV, this verse. NIV, give us in NIV. The Lord has blessed my master. How? Abundantly. Read what he said. And he has become what? Wealthy. Put your name there. Hallelujah. Bo. Let's look at his son. That's Isaac. That you see, some people, they have money. See, one of these problems is that all these rich kids, all these people that have money, their kids usually don't turn out well. Am I right? You know people like that? They just blow money up and they just go crazy with cocaine and stuff like that. I've had guys that I have to talk to that are on cocaine. Their father, very rich, powerful. But they just go on cocaine. I remember a guy now. He's my namesake. 40, he was taking cocaine. He died. Why? Pleasure of life. But to be old and be blessed is a very rare thing. Don't mind all these guys. They are in their 50s. They are not old yet. How are they going to maintain their life? Just imagine. Bill Gates old. No wife at home. Jeff Bezos old. They got money. House big. Nobody to share it with at home. Oh. Elon Musk believed that his mission is to populate the earth. I heard recently his father, Elon Musk's father, slept with the stepdaughter. You don't get that. Elon Musk's father married a woman who had a daughter. And the man slept with the daughter of his wife to have children, populate the earth. You feel like, you want to spit, right? Genesis 26, verse 11. Let's look at the second one. The son of Abraham. So Abimelech, verse 12. Then Isaac sowed in that land of famine. And he reaped in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. Look at next verse. I love this verse. And the man began to prosper and continue prospering until he became very prosperous. Let's hear it in NIV. The man became rich. Oh, come on. David, you like this one. You like this one. Can you see that on the screen? And his wealth continued to what? To what? To grow until he became very wealthy. This is not a pastor. This is not a prophet. This is an ordinary man. Just a follower of God. And tell yourself now, I'm a Christ follower. This will be my story. The third person was Jacob, the son of Isaac. Now Jacob, hello, are we here? Jacob was a man working for somebody else. And they changed salary 10 times. Like our country today. What happened to him? Let's go and see Genesis 30. Let's go, Genesis 30. He became also really wealthy. We're looking at the wealth of the righteous. Are you still here with me? Some of you are looking as if I've killed you today. When the servant is talking, he's making life a little difficult. You want me to enjoy life? No. Be with me. Genesis 30. Take a look about the grandson now. The grandson, you know, Abraham was wealthy. Isaac was wealthy. Jacob was wealthy. Let's look at verse 43. In this way, the man, Jacob, grew exceedingly prosperous and came to hold large flocks and male servant and men servant and camels and donkeys. You can see, and he owned trucks and cars. Praise God. Are we here, everybody? Now, today you are very, very quiet today. What's wrong? Reverend is making it very hard for me. God wants to make you wealthy. The only problem with God is this. Let me tell you the problem. God wants you to have money. He doesn't want money to have you. He wants you wealthy. The work of your hands prospers so well. But not to be focused on that. Not to just be reaching out for that alone. Oh, I saw a verse after we finished last week. Can I show you Psalm 62? Psalm 62. Let's go read it. Me, I like to balance everything I say in church. I want to give you the whole truth of the Bible. I don't like telling people lies. You know what, God? Collect your offering. And then you go away. Later you say, hello, my mom, pastor. Are you hearing me? And I'll tell you the whole truth. That woman I told you about, Mrs. Williams, when I first met her, you know my problem with her? I was not asking her for money. I just pray. She said, well, truly, what's wrong with you? You want to give something? I said, no, mama, I don't want to depend on you. He said, she took ruler, tried to beat me. You know, she's an old woman. Close here. You know why? When I was coming to Abeokuta, I was in Lagos first. I was having time with them, fellowship. And just before I came, I was praying. And when I was praying, I saw that they gathered together in that fellowship. And they were thinking of giving me something. And in that, I just had a vision. And I saw a cat sitting on the chair in the midst of the meeting. Are you hearing me? What did I see there? A cat. I said, what? He said, I just saw a cat. I woke up, I said, Lord, what's that? The Lord said, that's a stingy spirit. Don't collect anything from them.
What?
I said, wait. So I said, mama, I don't want anything. She got angry at me. Because when I said I don't want anything, you know, people want to use money to control you. But then she saw that I was just different. Then later some other guys came who were pastors begging her for money. He said, hey, you, go and meet Tunde. Tunde has better sense than all of you. One of the things, like this one now, one of the things is that you must learn to not be dependent on people. Some of you, you are grown up now, you are 25, you are still begging parents, you are still begging uncle raise me. It's not fair. You are grown up already. How are you going to handle your home when you have children? Just imagine, 31 or something, and you are still calling anybody for money. When you marry, who will you call? Your business will double now, right? Everybody don't like me. You don't like me today. One of the reasons why you should walk is that you become dependent on nobody. Now, I'm not saying people should give to you. People will see they should give to you, but you should not be. Nigerians are too much of that. They'll be calling people abroad. You know how much money is, you know, our trouble now is judgment time. I told my wife, something I don't say publicly. Some of our trouble we are facing as a country is judgment time. Man, we have wasted money in this country. We have wasted money bad. You know how many people are abroad sending money home? They send money home. What are you using money for? Go and buy iPhone 13. Crazy you. I know people that will lie to their friends abroad to buy. They say, I want to pay my children's school fees. And I know somebody who actually went to the school and said, help me collect the money so I can collect the money. And they say, children's school fees. And the person who sent money to school fees to the school, you say, oh, yeah, that is a joke. We have wasted money in this country. See our parties. So now it's judgment time. We can't produce anything. Why can't we have jobs? Because there's no factory. Who run the factory? What's your film law? I beg you. Pastor, I won't come back next week. You'll meet me in your future. You can be very sure of that. So, you should stand out. Don't come over here, just come. Just stand out, think different. Be productive. I got a lady over there who came back to Nigeria, she's into pharmacy work, started having her own beauty skin care products now. Not just looking for dollars. Hallelujah. What you are doing, you do quite well. Don't set your heart on just money. See, Nigeria, we spent so much money coming to this country. It's not just now. Even my own father was, he was working in Ivory Coast. He had brothers over here. They sent money home. You know what? They built a two-story building. The money sent could build OPIC building. But what they do? They ate up all the money. That's our country. We are too set on just getting something. But we must know that we are people who are different. Psalm 62. Let's read some verses over there. Oh boy, today's tough. But we should hear some tough stuff once in a while. Verse 10. Let's start from verse 9 to make it clear. Surely men of low degree are a vapor. Men of high degree are a lie. If they are weighed on the scale, they are altogether lighter than vapor. You know the meaning of that? You see, people in Nigeria, people that have low degree, they are like riffraffs. They're not these big people. They are like a lie. They are like lies. You just take, see, I'm sorry to say all this kind of thing, but I need to tell you because you need to know where you are and what to kind of different in this country. All they ever show is show their car at parties. Look at our senators and House of Rep members. You see, our cars go somewhere and Odile will follow them in. I saw one video, or they told me about one video where a policeman was carrying food. Did you see it too? Security guy carrying food around plate during party. Verse 10. Look at it. Do not trust in oppression. Oh, Nigerians, don't trust in oppression. I'm going to have to oppress you to make my way forward. I have to show something over here. I have to be big or something. But no, no. You know, as a pastor, people just wonder about me a lot of time. Just wonder about me. You see, every pastor that is desiring to be big and influence people. You see a church, 25 people. You see the pastor has 5 bodyguards. Who won't kill him? Your church is 40 people. You are buying designer of 500,000. What's the equivalent? You just want to show. You see, there's so much show around. Think about these two girls. Look at these two women. Early in the morning on Monday morning. This other one has the latest undercar. And her children wear latest design. And she's holding 10 million naira. Then the second lady has a fairly used undercar. Her children are wearing good clothes, but not designer's clothes. And she has 15 million assets. Right at Ikeja. Who is richer? You are lying. You said the other one. No, I know you are Nigerians. The other one that come like that, slinking, 10 million. Bisi. One of our, if I mention Nigeria now, one of our rich men in our country is into Bisi proper. One time he went to one bank, borrow money, use this building for collateral. Went to another bank, borrow money, use the same building for collateral. He didn't pay both of them. The two banks collided. When they came to one possess the building, both of them collided there. And they say, it's my building, it's your building. And he's a rich man in Nigeria. He has yachts, he has, I think, jets too. And they are all thieves. So don't be like that. If riches increase, do not set your heart on them. I want you guys to be rich in the future, have billions, and just walk around like everybody else. Africa, Nigeria is not doing well because those who are rich over here just only oppress people. Can I ask you a question? How many of our rich men have floated something like Amazon in our country? Every business that prospers in this country comes from outside. Am I right? MTN, who owns them? South Africa. So every money you get to pay for MTN is straight flight out. So, Pastor, how can I really prosper in this land? I want to show you now. Let's go. Are we ready? Righteous, how would the righteous prosper? Are we ready? Let's go. Chapter 21, the book of John. This miracle happened after Christ rose from the dead. And I want you to just take a look over here. I want to help your soul today. I want to help you from inside so that you can really live well. I should not be lying to you now, I should be telling you the truth. Verse 1, let's just read. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and in this way he showed himself. Jesus was dead, That was a crisis for the disciples. They were not expecting him to die. Are we everybody? What they were expecting, that Jesus will come and go to Jerusalem and fought Roman Empire, become the king, and then the mother of John and James, remember Zebedee, they said, please, the woman came and said, Jesus, please, put my son on your right and on your left when you come in your kingdom. That means, Minister of Finance and Minister of Defense. So, when Jesus died, before he died, they were all having hope that something good will happen. When he died, he confused them. He got 12, am I right? Apostles, right? One sold him, went to go and kill himself. Then remain 11. Remain how many now? Are we here, everybody? Now, look at this verse. Simon Peter, Thomas called who? Let's start counting how many people are there. Nathaniel making 3. Sons of Zebedee making how many now? The sons of Zebedee, there are 2 of them. Making how many now? And 2 others making how many now? Out of how many left? 11. So here they were. Christ died, rose again, he's gone to heaven. They are confused now. Before, he would take care of their lives. They look at themselves. They were rich fishermen. They follow Jesus. Jesus died. What will happen next now? Can we do well in life again? Let's keep reading. And then Simon Peter said to them, he was confused, man. He was their leader. Just go now. What are we going to do, man? Before Christ would have woken up us in the morning, we walk around with him, get some things, get some money, get some stuff. He said to him, I'm going what? Answer me now. I'm going what? Pastor, where are we? We are looking at the prosperity of the righteous. Let me warn you. You cannot run like the wicked and get to prosper as a righteous person. Many of you, your biggest problem is association. Your association is affecting you. You can't be listening and following the wrong guy and turn out right. Hello? You're not even answering me anymore. I tell you the truth. You may not come back here again. It doesn't affect me. You know, quite early as a pastor, I announced in our church there are 7 or 8 doors in our church. You can go out to any of them. My wife stopped me. I said, I want to be announcing every 3 months. If you can get another better place where they can help you well, go there. Pastor, are you fighting today? I'm not fighting. Life is getting more dangerous, more critical, that we just can't play around life anymore. Am I right? People are breaking out and making life difficult. We have to get ourselves sorted out. Am I right? When you play dribbling in first half of the game, second half, you better score, or else you are unlucky. How should a Christian do well? Don't go to work. Don't go to make money. Because, man, this Christian faith can't help anybody. Let's take care of ourselves. Heaven helps. That's what happened to Peter here. Peter saw that Christ was gone. How will he cope? Oh boy, I'm going back to my work. I need to make my life better. I need to just work. I must get this. I must go abroad. When you go like that, you're already doomed to fail. Look at that verse. See, he said to them, I'm going fishing. I'm getting out. My church coming. I pray. I couldn't get any answer. Which kind of course can we stop it now? Which course making money, man? Which course making money, man? Then you go fishing. And remaining 6 of them. Oh boy. God's kingdom is finished. Out of 11, 7. He said, we are going fishing. They went out and immediately they got into the boat. Read what it says for me. And that night, hello, they caught what? I don't like failure, man. I hate failure. They were walking. Many of us are walking as if you're under. Oh, man, I must make it. I must impress. You will suffer so much. Apostle Peter, when that work, I must just. Sometimes even church can be unhealthy for you. You come to church, you see this guy, he's earning money in dollars, man. That one's getting pounds sterling. Are you me, man? I must do something. I must do something. Calm down. Peter looked at himself. How am I going to cook, man? How am I going to go? I'm going fishing. I got a career. I got something. I'm going to help on there. He go down there, Bosha. He fished all night. He caught nothing. The other guys who were laboring, they got nothing. One lady was telling somebody, she used to be in our church. She traveled abroad. Then this one went for holiday from Nigeria. And then that person from holiday went to go and see her. I said, my sister, waiting the apple for me, for US, even not happen for me for Nigeria. The kind of things I passed through in America. For some of you, they have never stolen your phone here. That night, they caught nothing. Sometimes when you see a Christian, I want to be honest with you, when they start struggling and cutting and doing this 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 and they're just struggling, something is coming up. You know, look at me. Look at me as a pastor. I come over here. I've never discussed church finance. I never discussed attendance. I never discussed what I'm going to listen to. How are we going to... Have you noticed that? I don't make any kind of... I'm just cool, right? And I come talk to you, right? Why am I doing that? I should be in a hurry too. Pastors, get that. I want to connect. For instance, the VC of the university is from our church. I never been in his office once. I never gone with a list to him. My candidate. One guy called me one time, Reverend, VCs. I said, Anudwa. Are you hearing me? Other commissioner just came to our church now. No, he was in church before. They came prayer agreement. He now became a commissioner. He's in our church now. What do I go around and say? I'm the pastor of a commissioner. One pastor, his member became a governor. I think in the north. You know what he did? He left his house and went to go and camp in the government house. But he won't get anywhere. So, can I ask you a question? How many of you, you love Christ here? Christ is your Lord and Savior. Don't be ashamed, don't be ashamed, don't be ashamed. Thank you. Don't ever go on your own. Say that with me. I will not go on my own. See, Peter went on his own, trying to catch something, make some money, get some fish. All night he caught nothing. Let's go to the next verse. Next verse. But when the morning had now come, early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore. Wow. Whoa. Whoa. Where did he stand? He went to them where their career is. Am I right? Where their business is. He went down there. And he stood on the shore. Yet, the disciples did not know that was Jesus. You know what? He said, "Tipa wan lori." Sometimes when things are really rough, you won't see things well. Are you hearing me? Have you been there before? You go to exam. One time I was in university. We entered the exam hall. Huh? And they gave us this question. When I opened it, every question was speaking in tongues. It was not written in English, but it was English. Sorry for saying this in church. There was one girl behind me, half caste. She said, "Shit, man, shit." Now, you have read all night. You've read all night. You've read night before. Now, you look at the question. I close it back. I answer all. Five of them. I answer four. After I finished answering four, my lecturer, supervisor, came and said, "You answer only four." You saw my... Fear went through me. I turned the book. I wrote one line for number five. When I went out, I checked the line I wrote. It was wrong for that number five. As we finished the exam, I stepped out to go home. They said, "The in-course assessment for the other course is out." Now, this course, this year I was, you pass all the five exams or you repeat everything again. You can't pass four and say you escape. So, as I came out of that exam hall that was speaking in tongues, they said, "The other one, the in-course assessment is out." And I went to go and check the result of in-course of 30%. I failed that one. Oh boy. I got up like that, my back bent. I went down to go to my hostel. When I got to the hostel, my brother that was paying the school fees was already waiting for me in the room. And he asked me, how is the exam? What will I say? I promise you this. There will be difficult times. The time we are living now, things are going to get more difficult. I'm not promising terrible things. You know, last year I was telling them in the church, I went somewhere today. I said, last year when they were talking about politics, obedient, article, I told them in church, how many of you heard me? I said, all of you, forget this, don't remember. Remember this, LP, Liberal Party, PDP, APC, they have P in all their names, which is a problem. I told them in church, some of you are not there. And I said to them, whoever enters, by next year, I'll be encouraging you. Rebecca, you remember? What am I doing now? Encourage. How much today? How much today's dollar? Cardoso, the new CBN governor, he was an all-time financial expert. Authorized new. Now, how are you going to do with that? But thank God, Jesus is here. Clap your hands for Jesus. I want to show you the role of Christ in your life today in prospering and getting wealthy. Now, Jesus stood on the soil. Yet, they didn't know that was Jesus. Look at next verse. I love this. Jeremiah, you like this one. Then Jesus said, children. Hey, what did he say? Can you look up there? What did he call them? Boys. That's the best word. Boys. Have you any food? They answer from the shore. Or from the boat. No! You know, to be honest with you are looking for what to eat now. You are looking for how to get something to make your life better. Everybody, am I right? Come on now. Lift your hands with me if you are like that. You want to have a good job, good life, that you can sit down with your wife, drink five alive, plus ten alive, and thank God for your life. Am I right? Pay all the bills, have everything going, get a nice two or three cars in your compound. That not true? And the way life is going now, you know how much a car is now? How much? So Jesus said, Oba, you have been looking fishing. Have you got it? You haven't got any food to eat. Oh, I love what happened next. Look at next verse. And he said to them, cast the net. They've been working all night. Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you'll find what? Oh, mark that word. They'll find how many? You find how many? Can you help me ask your neighbor, what is the meaning of some? Can you help me ask? You did English now. What's the meaning of some? Simple. It's not many. Am I right? When God says some, what do you think it means? Okay, just imagine. Who is rich in Abeokuta? Who is the richest guy in Abeokuta? Anybody rich in Abeokuta? I know you don't know that one. Okay, let's say governor. Let's say governor says, I will give you some money. You say, Maybe. 2-3 million. Then I'm going to say, I'll give you some money. And sorrow. That's about how much? 30-40 million. Then Elon Musk said, I'll send you some money. Ekuru Nigeria. I'm talking of dollars now. Then when God said, I'll give you some. God, it's a poor God, Joe. You don't get money. I said to them, cast the net, I said, and you find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude. Clap your hands for Jesus there. Come on. Come on. Come on. You know what I mean? Let me see to that. Are we here? Are we here? I mean, you're going to have it beyond measure. I'm talking about getting. Can I beg all of you over here? I want you to see Christ, not just coming to church. I want you to see Christ as a living partner in life. He said, hey, just one word. Just one. Can you imagine that? James, can you imagine that? Just one. Just throw your net to the other side over there. Come on. And they threw their net, and they could not draw in the number of the fish. Boy, I have seen some blessings of God. They're amazing. Sure. Do you know one guy today? Just before I came to down for the meeting, this man is trying to run a school for somebody. He was asked to leave. He has a child who wanted to study nursing. Life was difficult. But you know what? Boy, his phone rang. He picked up his phone from one of his friends. He said, "Pastor, I want to share a testimony with you. I wish I can come more to tell everybody." I said, "Okay, come around next time you have a testimony." He said, "You know what? I got a friend who called me and said, tell your daughter to find any school. Not public, private." He said, "We want to find one school, 2 million or something." We told him, he said, "Don't worry, I'll pay the school fees for the next 3 years. Just give her pocket fee." Not a pastor, a school teacher. Are you hearing me? God wants to really bless you. All these cutting corners cannot be compared to what he can do in your life. Tell yourself, God can do much more than I can ever think. One more time. God can do much more than my highest prayers or dreams and hopes. Let me tell you something. What is actually limiting you is that you don't carry Christ along. Write that one down. What is limiting you is that you don't carry Christ along. You only go to him when things go berserk. Jesus, now wow. What is this going to go? See, you apply for visa. You plan all your ways. When I don't give you now, I say, "Jesus, Oluwa, I need to fast here now." No. Carry Christ along. If you had gone with Christ to start with, they would walk all night. You know, I'm pleading with you. Carry Christ along. Please get up. Sorry, relax. I'm a choir pastor. I don't know where you came from. I don't know your house. I don't know your siblings. I don't know your dad. I don't know your mom. But somebody knows all that. Even when you are conceived in your mother's womb, it was there. His name is Jesus. You are going to finish this service. You're going to go. You're going to live here. He knows all your ways. He knows the best thing for your life. So why don't you listen more to him? Why don't you spend more time to let him direct your life? You don't know everything. You've had some failures, some struggles, some successes. But you want more than that, don't you? I'm like you too. I want more. Thank you. Some of you, I know the reason why. You go and sit at the back because I won't get you like that. So begin to carry Christ along. Start talking to Christ as if he's in your house and he's indeed in your house. Sit and say, "Lord, I want to do cryptocurrency. I've been hearing about this cryptocurrency. What do you say?" Don't say, "Hey man, hey man, give me the side, give me the side. How much is happening?" I don't know, be blinking. Then later, ask you, "I don't lose money. I don't lose money, Pastor." Even when you lose money with Christ, he knows how to get you back more. I have a news for you today. Start going along with Christ. Say that with me. Start going along with Christ. Just imagine, one word got you enough fish. Let's keep reading. My time is up. Let's stop. Next verse. "And therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, 'It's the Lord.'" Simon Peter, he said, he don't walk. He can't even look at anybody. But that other one who was sensitive, that was the friend of Jesus. They were quite close when he was here. Jesus loved him specially. When Jesus was leaving this planet, he gave his mother to him to take care for him. He was the one who wrote, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health." Are you here with me? Are you here with me? He said, "Hey, he's the Lord." That's not economic forecaster. Ah, they've lied to us in this country. They've lied to you. This, if you enter this investment, no, you're going to have 30. I've been there too. I lost money, so I came back to Christ. You hear me? You got what you say? "I don't know. I don't understand, though. It just happened. Where's my money?" One time, one guy was telling me, "Oh boy, I've been there, man. This story I'm going to tell is my friend, but I'm going to tell you anonymously. He was into all these things, making some money. Life was difficult. So one day, he did one. That one went bad. But the second one now, and he was in UK, and it was going on, and it was happening. And he was making money in his account there, $16,000. Huh? That's why I don't want to see any other account now besides my account. If you say, my money is credited, I want to see it in GTB. Or FCMB. Or Sky. Not your account you keep for me. That nobody can reach. So, he said, money is growing. And other people are investing with him. And investing with him. Bam! It was on my birthday. My birthday was that day. I was in a hotel with one of my friends. He just called me and said, he just started crying. He said, whoa, trouble has occurred. But I know that whatever happens to you, Christ will be there for you. I mean, his life came to a grinding halt. He said, how will I tell my loved ones? How could I? I told him, I said, I'm coming. It was my birthday Sunday in church. I finished church. I did everything. My birthday, cut my cake, got home, entered my jeans, headed for Lagos. Book hotel for myself. I said, come in there. Let's work on it. I said, he called me the partner that they lost money together. We sat down together. We worked it out with Christ. We bam, bam, bam. I said, I want to call your wife in. We sat down together. We sorted it out. We pray. Today, it's bounced back. Clap your hands for Jesus, somebody. When you are with Christ, nothing can stop you. Even death and grave could not hold him. Praise God. Praise God. See, Christ is so good that the Father put your eternal salvation in his hands. If somebody can take you to US, he can surely pay the Okada to Sakmo. Come on now. If you tell me you are taking me to US and you're going to get me a house, and I say, please, let's go to Lagos. You say, you don't have any money. I will doubt you're taking me to Lagos or to US. Christ is enough. I mean, he went through death and he came out. What an investment. So, stop doing this alone. Tell your neighbor, stop doing your life alone. Pastor, what do you mean? As you come to church? No! We just come to church. Come to Christ. Walk with Christ. Talk with Christ. Discuss with Christ. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, Ujuwati, he was ashamed. You know what he did? Put his outer garment because he's supposed to be the leader. And he plunged into the sea. Let's go on reading. I want to close. Other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land, dragging the nets with what? With fish. Let's find that next verse quickly. And as soon as they come to land, they saw what? Hey, look up. What did they see? Wait, they were on the sea trying to get fish, right? And when they got the fish through their net, they saw multitude of fish. And Peter jumped to the boat. They were cold, feeling hard, feeling tough. And they were dragging the nets. And you know, they came in like that. And they came in like that. And Jesus had prepared. Stand up on your feet. Let's give Jesus a standing ovation. Come on. Stand on your feet. Clap your hands for Jesus. Come on. Clap your hands for Jesus. Whoa. What a master. What a Lord. What a Savior. Come on. Sit down. Thank you. They were cold. They were just shivering like that. And they are not eating. And Jesus, before they came on board, there was fire. And there was fish. And there was bread. Where did he get it? We know he didn't steal it. They went to go and look for fish. He got fish there ready for them. Aye, glory to God. Aye, God will help you. Aye. I can't talk people's stories in church. They are doing whatever they can. God is helping them. But don't do it alone. I'm pleading with you. When things go hard, don't do it. And when things go better too, don't do it alone. They were feeling cold, shaking like that, walking all night, caught nothing. But somebody got a fish, some bread, and fire. Next verse. Let's read some more. We're closing. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have just caught. I got fish here for you. Listen. You will not only eat what you have worked for, you will eat what Christ will provide for you in Jesus' name. Bring some of the fish. That means what you are going to bring will be a contribution. It's not everything by yourself. Next verse. Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land. Full of what? What's large fish? Oboro, you know? Big one. Like this. Some people, they catch fish. They find tiny, tiny fish there. Huh? Large fish. How many? Take a look. 153. Way! And what? And although there were so many, the net was not broken.
That's the, you don't understand. I don't catch any fish. I'm just this small boy working as a clerk somewhere. I hope I will cope one of these days.
Stop thinking like that. You are in league with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The smaller you are, the better it is. You see, if you are too big, it can't show his glory in your life because you're already big. When you are very small, it can show his glory really better in your life. The net was not broken. So, next verse. Let's round up. He said to them, come on, what? I know what you're looking for. You want to enjoy life, right? Right? Anybody, I want to enjoy life. Don't do like this. I know you want to tell the truth in church. Don't lie. I wonder if you want to enjoy life. You want to have peace. You want to have a wife you can kiss that won't slap you. You want to get a husband who just come in and won't have another girl that come and chase you out of the room. You want to have a life that where you have your car, you have your home, you live at home, you're a landlord yourself, things are just going on well, and you go to work. Those who are giving you assholes, they quiet down after a while. You just want that. Jesus knows. They come and eat. Come and eat breakfast. Do all night, you caught nothing. And none of the disciples there asking, who are you? Knowing. I pray, may God show himself in your life. May he provide for you in such a way that you don't have to ask whether it's the Lord. You will know it is the Lord in Jesus' name. We have to close now. Let's close with the beginning. What's the beginning of this story? We didn't know yet until now. While they were eating, next verse. Took the bread, gave it to them, likewise the fish. Next verse. It's not the third time Jesus showed himself to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. Next verse. David, this is what I meant last week and I wanted to show us. So when they had eaten breakfast, bellyful, just said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than this? The boat, the fish, the catch. I must confess to you that when I came to Christ, first of all, I wanted his goods. But he said, it's more than that. You can have my goods, but you won't last. He said, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than this? I wish you can read the original Greek. Said to him, yes, Lord. You know that I love you. Said to him, feed my lambs. Now, see that word love? There are two different words for love. The first one was not the same word for love for the second one. The first one was the word love, agape. Second one is love, filial. The first one is love, commitment. Love, devoted. Love, all the way. Second one is, I like you. Am I party? Huh? So Christ said, you love me all the way? Are you committed to our partnership? Are you going to go with me? Come rain, come sunshine. Peter said, you know, I like him. You're really a great guy, man. I'm just doubting that now you are going away now. How am I going to cope? So I'll do some fishing for myself. Just asked him three times, and he felt sad. You love me? Christ asked him again, do you agape me? Peter said, Lord, I filio you. Then third time, Christ came and said, do you filio me? You know, some of you over here, now when you get money, now you become cocky. We know you don't really love Christ, you love money. How many of you know gratitude? You have seen him around. He's at the back there. Gratitude, please stand up. Sorry for exposing you. Gratitude has been around me all these years. I told you before, he has about 100 employees. You can see it on him. He loved the Lord. When he calls me on the phone, he will never discuss, hey, business. He will say, let's talk about singles. How are they going to cope? How are they going to move on? He's concerned about your life and Jesus. Clap your hands for him. And his wife. He's bugging me all the time. Hey, he was here without anything. All he had was jeans and broken. He was not married. Now he has factories. And you will never see the stress on him. I have another guy. Recently took me at the beginning of the year. Thank you, sit down. He took me out. Said, Reverend, let's go somewhere. I got down there. He built a whole event hall. Not for event to sell, but to bring children to come and do school classes and Bible studies there. Clap your hands for Jesus. He and his wife. I mean, build a whole place. You never see him looking anything. Calm down, find a place. Do you love me more than this? Hi. So, when you become really rich, we don't have that kind of rich people in Nigeria. They just come to church, become rich, and start oppressing everybody. Before they were rich, they stayed with their wives. The moment they get rich like this, they start calling guests from third service. Hello, girl. How you doing? One girl in Lagos, one woman, her husband got money, bought a car, and was carrying guests around. Then he lost the money, lost the car, and he came to pastor, and he said, pastor, please pray for me. The wife said, don't pray for him, oh! Don't pray for him. Last time he got money, he got a car, was carrying guests around. Don't let him have money. If you hear me? What are you going to do? So I'm praying that you'll be really rich to enrich many lives. Can you say amen to that? Amen. You fly around, get your jets. I can't say amen to that one, pastor. You live life so good that you go to Itoku. Like I told you before, you come with your Oma Jeep or whatever it is or your latest thing and tell that boy that's only wearing a pant to jump inside the car. I love that. I love that. You know, I was with a girl before I came for the service. Small girl. Her father couldn't pay her school fees. The father is working like a Trojan. Just a young man, just working like a Trojan. I told my staff, get in there, pay some money. Let's just pay some of the money. And the girl came to see me today with her mom. And she came to my office and fell on her knees. And I grabbed her. I said, great girl, how are you doing? What class are you? KG something. The father is walking with himself to the bones. That's what you should be rich for. You know what I did? This morning, when I was coming to church, I got some money in my hand. And they were not clean money. They were not clean money. You know the kind of money like that? I was going through circulations. Help me, Jesus. And there was this new note I just put somewhere that I forgot that I had the money. It was given to me during my bad day. So I forgot the money was there. So I said, oh, I got the money. So I was counting my money out this month to take to church for my offering and co. And then I just had this thing, stop. Return the old money and take the new money. I said, Lord, I walk by faith, I don't walk by sight. I said, no, just take the old money, new money. So I took this $1,000 new money. And that girl got in there. Kissed someone who let her have a great day today. I took out the new note. 10,000. I said, take it. She looked like that. Whoa! I said, and don't give your mommy. See, that's more to me than preaching to you right now. Because that's living it. This is teaching it. All over our country, people, I want you very wealthy. I don't want you to have only one pair of shoes. Not even 1,000 pair of shoes. I want you to have 10,000 pair of shoes. Keep 100 for yourself and give the rest out. And let all the boys in Nigeria have shoes on their feet. Clap your hands for Jesus, somebody. I'm trusting God that many of you over here, you'll have money that you'll be spending 2-3 million almost every day for others. Pastor, etipami. Mi o pae. I'm really praying for it. And you will become it in Jesus' name. You take people that are on drugs, take them to a rehab center and pay for a whole year. So we're going to be wealthy. We are going to be wealthy. How many people say that with me? I'm going to be wealthy. I'm going to be rich to do great things for God in my life. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Can we do something? Can we enter into agreement with Jesus today? How many of you want to say, Jesus, I want to enter into partnership with you in the area of finances. I want you to put great money in my hands through different things. And I would like you to do it on your knees if you want to go that far. Can you get on your knees? You are making a pact. You are making a covenant. As you drop your knees, now listen, everybody look up here. Look up a minute. Have you watched films? African Magic? Where somebody is suffering and our friend will say, let me take you somewhere. And they go to one court somewhere. Am I right? And in that court, they will say, drink something, eat something. You will never be poor again so that your group will be having, and it's a cult. Let's enter into a cult with Jesus today. Oh, he's giving us his blood. He's giving us his flesh. We are not killing ourselves. And as you fall on your knees, say, Lord, make my life to be a source of great wealth. Make my life to be of great wealth, to touch many lives, to raise the poor and the needy around me. Jesus, I want you. Don't just give me enough for myself. I want you to give me more than enough. You gave Peter 153 fish. One time you gave him so much fish that his net broke. His boat was sinking. Lord, I'm making a pact, a covenant with you, that I will let you be my partner through the journey of life. I'm not looking for so much for myself. I know you will give me bread, fish, coal, fire in the cold. I know you are my provider, but use me as a provider for others. I want to be so much rich, to engage in so much rich good works. I want to be rich and rich in good works. Now, say this one. Say, Lord, transfer the wealth of the wicked. Transfer the wealth of the sinner to me. And I promise you today to do something worthwhile for your name and for your glory and for the benefit of humanity. Thank you for doing so. In Jesus' name. Amen. Sit up. Now, from now on, book a day in the week. What I say? Take a day in the week to think of how you can start doing this. You hear me? Think of what investment can I get to? How can I multiply what I have? Take one day in a week. Just think. Pastor, I don't have any money. Think. It doesn't cost much to think. Am I right? to sit down and think. And then ask yourself, what can I do for somebody now? If somebody around your house, you can buy a pair of slippers. So be on the lookout now. Because if you are faithful in little, be faithful in much. I want to. Don't say, when my money arrives, don't do that. I ask you that gratitude should get up. Gratitude is major job beside his work. It's in dreaming how to help people. It's a major job. And when you do that, even when you sing, God will cover you. You know what I just said? You know what I just said? If a car is good, if it breaks down, you'll get money to repair it. But if a car is not good, not serving you, before it breaks down, you won't put fuel inside it. So every week, I take Thursday for my own. On Thursday, I do this every week till now. And I saw God gradually. I was telling somebody recently, somebody called me and said, I'm giving you 2.7 million to help people. Everything's been spent for people. I didn't touch a dime of it. You see what I just said? He said, I'm giving you. He said, he gave me what to use for single women and another guy for scholarship. I said, let's go. Whoa. Praise God. We're going somewhere. We're going to rewrite Nigerian history. You guys. So you won't just have enough for yourself. You're going to have plenty. But to them, let me make you laugh. One day he was telling me, he said, Reverend, you said to me, say, you are rich now. He said, I can't say that. I'm not rich. He said, see yourself as a rich businessman. He said, Kosi. I said, say that. Confess it. He said, I said, God called those things which be not as though they were. How many of you are in business here? How many of you are in business? Now go and copy this verse out. Put this in your room. Psalm 112, verse 3. Take a look on the screen. Copy it out or make it your screen. What do you call that now? Your screen what now? Huh? Screensaver. I always forget what it is. Screensaver. Wealth and riches will be in my house. Copy it out. Big money is wealth. Am I right? Riches in my house. Keep it before you. Keep it on the screen or keep it on the wall somewhere. Ladies, have a dressing mirror. Put it there. Hallelujah. And stop saying, I need capital. Start saying, I have capital. I have capital. I have the money. They're going to go get it done. Is that all right? But start every week. Find something you can do for somebody. Even if it's granite you can buy for that boy. Boy, come there, granite 5 million. Yeah, uncle, thank you. That is cascading more and more and more as it goes on. God is watching that. Is that all right? Pastor, I can't buy anything for nobody. Me, myself, I know belly full. Your belly will never get full. When you think like that. Let's clap our hands for Jesus. Time over. Question time. Before we eat, choir will sing after. Any question? James, I said James. Shola, let's take microphone. Ask any question online, on ground, on paper, by microphone. You are free. Ask me.
Thank you. For the first time, I don't know how to put my question together the way I want to put it.
Just do it anyhow. We'll find our way through it.
But the question that Jesus asked Peter in the verse, the chapter you just read,
It
actually struck a chord in me.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, the question was, do you love me more than this?
Wow.
And
honestly.
Okay, I want to ask, in my present situation, I'm probably not as rich as I want to be.
Yeah.
But in what ways can I show Jesus that I truly love him more than this?
Thank you. Thank you. What a question. Before I write a question, I write a question down. Number one, the number one way you love Jesus, you'll be surprised, is to listen to him. Jesus treasures your hearing him more than anything else. Look at that story. If they never listened to him, that fish won't have occurred. Am I right? So the very first thing Jesus wanted from everybody and now want from us. Remember Martha and Mary. Martha was cooking, running around for Jesus. And Mary was, Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you are worried about many things, but one thing is needful. We need that quietness, that desire to listen to Jesus. Let me make you laugh. I don't make you laugh. Ratito, one more time. I'm back to him again. Last week, my wife called him and said, somebody, we want you to come and take the person to work with you. He said, I'm not sure. I want that person. But let me listen to my spirit. Let me listen to God. So, the first thing he wants from you, how many of you, no, let me not ask you. If you are a girl here, you want your guy to listen to you, right? Right? So number one, love. It's not run around and buy anything. It's love. Just listen. That's the first one. Second one, begin to honor him with your possession. When you have some money, dedicate a part to Jesus. When you have only one car, you cannot give that car, but you can carry somebody in that car. Are you hearing me? One day I was coming from my house and I saw this woman standing like this. She has twins, carrying twins. And the son was hot. I said, pack her inside. Let her enjoy the AC with the boy. Right? So you start honoring him with your substance, your possessions. You're not held back to give thanks to God and to people because you want to just honor God. Is that all right? Do you get that? So number one, listen to him. Second, with what you have, honor him. Is that all right? Great. So that's how to do that. And whenever, whatever happens to you, see yourself as a Jesus boy or a Jesus girl. You are really nobody outside that. They call me all kinds of names. Daddy, Pastor, Reverend. But I'm just a Jesus boy. Great. Yeah. Next question. Anybody else? Yeah. Lady, thank you for asking.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
Thank you for today's teaching.
What's going on? The fan. Okay. You are beside the fan. Thank you.
Thank you for today's teaching.
You're welcome.
Yes. My question is, when you ask God for something,
When
you ask God for something,
yes,
there are times that you don't see reply.
Thank you.
And you feel like, why is this thing not coming? Then, imagine, assuming, let's take this for example. I ask God for a car.
Yeah.
And I needed it.
Seriously?
I needed it. And at that point, the car is not coming.
Yeah.
So, after like 6 months,
yeah,
I got the car.
Yeah.
I needed it 6 months after.
Yeah.
Fine. But then, I really needed it.
Yeah.
Was it... The question now is God intentionally delaying it? Or at that time, I really do not need it?
Just forget it and use the car. You got in the car, right?
Yes, sir.
You know, don't try and be interpolating. When did it? Just use the car. And by the way, before the car arrives, just go around with boat. Huh? Just say, Lord, I know you're going to get me a car. I'm trusting you. And then, let me go a step further. And once in a while, park the car and take a taxi to show Jesus, this is not holding me at all. Sometimes, do something that will reduce yourself to take you higher. There was a lady who came to Lagos years ago in train. She started working in the bank. And she asked herself, how can I really impress Jesus? She said, let me go and wash the toilet. Huh? The least thing people will do I will do it for Jesus. So she will go in tram in Lagos. She will go to the toilet and wash the toilet and wash the toilet and wash the toilet regularly. One day, a guy came to pastor and said, "Pastor, who is that girl washing toilet? I think I want to marry her." They said, "What?" He said, "If she can descend to wash toilet, then..." Whoa. So don't ever see yourself as so big and so great. That's so important in life. I want to tell you, one of the greatest trouble from God for God to give people is because money brings pride. Money brings pride. Until you, when you see bills of dollars. Like I told you before, one day, one of my friends walked into my house years ago and he said, "Reverend, I just came in and gave me $10,000. And God said, "It's not your money." Because some days before, we went somewhere to build a church for some missionaries, and the guys that were involved in the deal fell apart. And we have promised the villager we are going to build it for them. It's not my deal, it's their deal. And then it fell through, but I was the one who made it happen. What will I tell the villager now? But then second day, 2 days after, God said, $10,000. Go finish that place. So I changed the money, we built the thing, finished. I didn't tell anybody, we dedicated it. Huh? Hello? On the day of dedication, we were talking, something strange happened. We got in there, we finished, and then I said, "I would like to come here to come and see you." I said, "I really don't have time." Then I was there, Deacon at the front, Deacon Amen, that's his name. I said, "You know what, I don't like to come." He said, "Ah, come now." I said, "I will not come. If you get me antelope to eat, get me bushmeat, antelope, then I will come." And we all laugh. Where will you get antelope? Guess what? Second day, the pastor called me and said, "Reverend, the antelope is here." I said, "What?" I said, "What?" He said, "The man went to the farm where he set up a trap, and antelope was there just for Tunde Amosu." Whoa! That's what I'm talking about. I can tell you stories like that. Story, all kinds of stories. Great. All right. Any question? Any more question? Thank you. Great. Wow. Okay. Oh, that's Paul. What's your question? Anybody on paper? That's your question down. Online. Check online if you have any question online.
Okay, sir.
Thank you.
This question might actually sound somehow, but it's something that will be bothering me.
Can you move over here?
Okay. It's something that will be bothering me for some time. The issue of looking for someone to help. Most time, presently I follow my mind.
You follow your mind?
I must be inside cab, and my mind will just be like, pay our transport fare, okay, and I'll be paid. But there are still these people, they are even much now, in Abeokuta and even Nota. They will literally come and meet you. Give me something. But most time, my mind
doesn't do that. So don't do that.
Okay.
Don't do that. Huh? Because if you give it on your mind, you say, I'm going to lose your audio. So just don't do that. Pastor, how can you say that? I'm not the only one on the planet. Somebody else will give to them.
Pastor, if I don't give to them, they will never have money.
You are becoming God, and God will kill you. God could have come to two gods. Somebody say, "But Pastor, you're just being heartless." No, I'm not heartless. You can't do everything for everybody. You can't do everything. For instance, over the weekend, I got two messages. I'm helping these people. I'm helping this other person with the family. And then the woman called me. She didn't have any money. God said, "Don't answer her." My heart said, "Don't answer her." Another person trying to help, trying to do everything. I just sent some money. And then he said, "Please, this one again." My heart said, "Don't do that." Pastor, how do you know it's God or not? Are you just comfortable to do that? I don't just... But sometimes I can go on the road and somebody's begging for money. You know what I would do? Take out 500 naira. The guy will look like this. Because what's he expecting? No, 15 naira. So, please follow your app. Chapter 9, 2 Corinthians, verse 6 or verse 7. Let's read it. So let each one do what? Give as he proposes. Oh, but five gratitude is on my case today. Give as he proposes in his heart. Not gratitude. Where are you? Come. You're my case today. You are my diary today. You are my file. Come. Talk to us about this area. We are talking at our table. Which dinner? When you are in our house, that you refuse my dinner. Come. That was how many days ago? And we were talking about one guy came to your office. First day he came, he started begging for money.
I'm not here yet.
You're not here yet.
I'm not here yet.
You're in the spirit.
I'm just coming.
Okay, all right. Now,
that was which date?
Don't worry. We're talking about giving money based on your heart. Yes. We are giving money based on our heart, not just people asking you for money.
Yeah.
That guy came to the office asking for money that day. Yeah, I told him that I don't give money like that.
Yeah. Just approached me. Somebody that recently we did something.
He just reported at your work for the first time.
No. I gave you two instances.
Okay,
yes. One first reported, a member of the church, long time ago. The person is no more in church. Just came and worked with me. And being that he knows we attend the same church, after work, he was broke. I said, "Bro, so I need a raise." I said, I don't raise anybody like that. We are many. I don't raise.
And what did you say? What did you say back to you?
I said, you don't raise, but we are children of God. We are brothers. We and it was surprising to me. It's like a slap on his face. I said, "Sorry." And he left and he never came back to work again. And
so he actually came for a raise.
So the second person actually same way. I don't want to say whether he's a member of the church or not.
Okay, so come down out.
But came to me and said, "Bro, I'm broke. I need money. Is my worker." I said, "Sorry, I don't give people money. I don't give money like that. I only give money when I am instructed. I am inspired to give. But the moment you come to me and say, 'Give me money,' I won't give you." He's like, he just looked at me and said, "Huh?" I said, "Sorry, ask everybody. I don't." That's the way we were trained. It's like, but once in a while, people come to me and I give. I hope you understand. Once in a while. But those cases, most of the time, are genuine, the way it happens. But not just begging. So we don't encourage people to
just
go around begging for money. That's not the way it works. It's like, and the person wants to convert you to
being
God. The role God wants to take in your life. The body wants to replace you. Not because you are physical.
Thank you.
And we must discourage that.
So it's important for us over here to know that when you give, you are giving according to your heart.
Yeah.
But many don't look at it. They look only at the pressure around them.
Yeah.
And that's why a lot of money given abroad to Nigeria is a waste.
Yes, because out of pressure. Out of
people don't get reward for that money they are giving.
Yeah, just like a family. Your brother, your sister. I have that all around me too. You know, but there's a kind of peace that you enjoy around you if you learn what Reverend is talking about today. Because they are connected to you. You know, they are your sister, your brother, your sibling, that kind of thing. So they come around and say, can you see money latil hospital? That kind of thing. You know, so, but if you really let them know from the start that you will, and let me say with a serious caution that you love them and you like to show them love based on what God is doing with your life or through you, not based on the pressure they put on you.
Fantastic.
You know, because that thing happens every time.
Yeah.
They bring their own pressure and expect you to bow. But you also must, that is the balance, because if you don't do that, you see that it won't work. They'll just see you as somebody stingy. And just stingy.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but you must, on your own volition, try and take a step at times while you are praying for them to be sensitive to their need.
Yeah.
Without them being asking.
Beautiful, beautiful.
That's,
beautiful.
That's how it works.
In fact, much of your giving should come from your heart, not from outside.
Thank you, sir.
Because seed doesn't grow from outside. It goes from inside. Did you get what I just said?
Yeah.
Now, that guy you are talking about that left your work is always asking people for money.
Sir, something I didn't tell you, sir. That same guy I turned down a couple of days ago. I was praying. I didn't think about her. And I saw a flash that I should empty my pockets for him.
Yeah.
Listen, no, I have not finished the story. And I said, oh, which kind of flash is this? And a couple of days somewhere else, I just found that, wow, it's the guy the Lord was telling me about. And I had to do that. I'm sure the guy was going to be in shock. I just put my... I didn't care the amount. I just said, take. That same guy.
Gratitude is extremely beyond...
Do you understand?
You won't
believe it. Because I never thought God could lead me that way towards him. Somebody else, fine. But not towards him.
Great.
Sure, you understand. But if it's the guy, because the place we met next was supposed to be a place he would, if somebody offended, would not come again. Would just disappear and say, this man is a mess. You know, but he came there humbly.
Hallelujah.
You remember him saying that we should humble ourselves. Just humbly came there. What is he going to say again? Let me, just like, Reverend offend me and I come to his meeting. If I'm really offended, I won't come to his meeting again.
Yeah.
So I now come, and God sent him to me. Those are the kind of people God likes to send.
Wonderful. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Wonderful. So start doing that. Start really praying. I said Thursday, remember? My own Thursday. Take a day out of the week. Take a day. Just say, what can I do? You'll be getting ideas of investments. Some of the rich guys in the world, they have time, what they call meditation time. Just think from where you are.
I'm a lady.
Ladies are better too at it. Yes. One more question. Online. All right. Yes, beautiful. Sir.
So the person is going back to the verse you quoted that says...
Oh, just one more minute. Just a minute. Now, you can go to people that you are very close to when you are in need. You hear what I just said? Now, there is nothing wrong going to somebody, not just say, erase me. You see, some people I have in church, if I need money, like my wife, profs, those days, so come in, is there around somewhere there? No, I just say, they will do anything for me. If I call prof today, the VC, and say, I need 5 million, prof will borrow it. I don't ask. But if I need anything, I can go to them. There's a story in the Bible. A man was having a friend who came to see him around the middle of the night, and there was no food at home. Himself had no food, and his friend was hungry. You know what he did? He got up, left his house to go to another friend's, and said, my friend is here. I don't have any food for him. Let me go get food to see that. And he was knocking at the guy's door seriously. That means you can have a serious prayer time for others. And then God gave him more than enough to take. So I want to plead with you that when you have need, go to your friends. Don't go to every... See, some people come to church. They just go to somebody. They see the person having a nice car. They walk toward the car. Good afternoon, sir. My school fees is tomorrow. I've not gotten enough. Then the person will say, am I in school or you are in school? And that brother is bad. No. But you can always get those who are close to you that you know. You can say, man, Jesus himself, one time he was tired. He was feeling so sad. He called his apostles. He took 9 and he said, please pray for me. And he took 3 and said, I'm really bothered. Do something about it. Pray with me. And they love him and slept off. So don't be too bad with your friends when they didn't help you that moment. Don't let it bother you. All right, great. Let's hear that one quickly.
Okay, sir. The person says, the Bible says the wealth of the sinners shall be transferred to the righteous. My question is how? How is it transferred from sinners to the righteous?
I have been teaching since. Listen to everything I've said. But this is it. This is the key. The righteous will not enjoy that. He'll also be a sinner if he's a reservoir. You see, in that verse, you don't get the meaning. The sinner is the reservoir. The righteous is the channel. So the moment when it comes to wealth and money and you become a reservoir, just want to accumulate to show yourself and be proud, you are a sinner. Whether you are a Christian or not, you can be talking in tongues, you are a sinner, you are a reservoir. But the moment you become a channel, I have seen even those who are not born again giving money so well and money keeps coming to them. They're not born again. They are keeping the law of life. Are you hearing me? So that's important over here. Not becoming a reservoir to think that it's just for myself. For instance, if you are always giving money, you don't want to give anybody money, you just get sick. And you go to this doctor who will give the money he gets from you to some charity somewhere. Okay, all right, great. Next question. Yes, thank you.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, how are you doing?
Good afternoon, church. I'm so excited for today's teaching because I really acquired some knowledge here.
Beautiful.
But my question comes like this, based on what the pastor said a few minutes ago over the law of giving. Nowadays, we youth sometimes when we go to churches, the pastor look at you and they prophesy saying that you should give, that a giver never lack, that you should empty your account to give to God. That is, the moment you give in pain, God will reward you. And I found out that such giving was, you are giving such money under duress.
Thank you.
So my question comes like this. Maybe that particular brother or sister who gave such money under duress, maybe such person have financial problem, but due to, I respect the man of God, or because I know he's under anointing, and he gave me such prophecy, but I just want to follow that prophecy by emptying my can, giving such money. My question is that, is there any reward in such giving?
I don't know. But I can tell you some answers. Let me give you some practical things. When you go to a church where a pastor tells you to always empty your pocket, don't sit at the front. Good strategy. Sit at the back. Say, empty your pocket. Before I get to you, just go out and go to the toilet. You come back, you finish emptying your pocket. But this rascal pastor will say, you are going to the toilet, I can see you. Come back here. But let me tell you one I had. This one, I love this one. This pastor was collecting money from people, and then they collected offering. But these guys, they don't have some of this. They don't have some of these niceties. So he said, they finished collecting the offering, and he got it. He said, this offering is not enough. We must give some more. There was one brother at the front there, and he said, hey, I saw you with money. Give the money. He said, pastor, this money is not for you. It's not for church. But people are afraid to tell the truth to the pastor. Pastor, this remaining money is to buy rice for my children. If you are really godly pastor, you will stop, dip your hand into the offering and give him extra money to buy beans along with Gary with that rice. Are you hearing me? But don't blame my colleagues. They are my colleagues. Relax. They are my colleagues. I know. I'm not here to come and talk bad about them. Many of them are just doing what they have seen other people do. They have seen all these big men of God. Just say, I told him that he should bring 1 million out. And he brought it. And next week, he had an open door to Ocean Blue strategy. He said, huh? So right now, I'm commanding you under the anointing. When you hear things like that, just calm down. Just calm down. Say, oh Lord, am I being similar to you? No, no, a job. And go, God will spare you. You know, there's one guy. He went to go and do a seminar in one church on evangelism. So on Sunday, it was one of the pastors just traveling around. So on the Sunday, the pastor now said, there's a coming guest speaker. And that guest speaker got up and he said, I want to give you the anointing that will make you live long. Just sow a seed now that will make your life. And then people started giving money and they were looking for people to make pledge. They tore his evangelism paper. They tore the paper, the seminar paper, to write there. So he said, anointing for living long. You see the voice, that's the voice that sound like that. You know? Anointed to live long. You know, as himself live long enough that he's 85 years old. So after the guy, the church now tore his paper. He was angry. He now went to go and meet the father of that man of God that did the paper tearing. Are you hearing me now? The one that was telling the paper said, I want you to live long. So he went to go and report to him, say, your son. He came to that church, we had this seminar, and he was raising money, and they were telling people to give money for anointing for long life. You know what happened next? The father in the Lord called the boy, said, I heard that you did anointing for long life, and you collected money. Come and do it in my church. I'll tell you why. Church needs money. And pastors are giving everything. You know, you are Mr. Laro, right? We just renewed yesterday for another 1 year. 200,000 naira. Huh? Everybody quiet. Huh? So what do we do now? But I refuse to do any game on your life. The money will come. God will provide for us. Huh? Pastor, you don't do program in this church. Bring the money from US. I'm a Jack Besini. And I make you pay money that you cannot pay. And the bad thing is that you come to third service now, the person will come and say, you guys, look at you. You don't respect your pastor. The anointed. You don't ever do that. See. He's a papa. So call him papa. And I start having trouble calling papa. I don't have time. So it'll be nice to all of you. The thing that I have to be worshipped, you come on their knees when you come on. How can you be talking to a reverend like that? This great man of God. I know when he was. Can you come? You need to kneel down. And I don't want that. So, I'll get someone from 5 million from US. Somebody, Baba Adeboye, invited him from America to come down. Baba Adeboye said, please come. He said, before I come, I want first class ticket. Baba said, I will manage. He said, not only for myself, all my assistants come in, the PAs, first class ticket. Baba Adeboye wrote back and he said, it doesn't cost that much to invite the Holy Spirit. But this pastor, they are under distress because they must raise money, man. And I must buy the latest car now as a pastor. You know, sometimes ago, somebody told me, said, the pastor's wife in Lagos, she was celebrating a birthday, and they bought a car for her about 200 million. My mind flipped. He said, who will buy me a car of 50 million in a Rock Foundation Church? I don't care. Because it's not about driving a car, it's about working on your life. Clap your hands for Jesus, somebody. Do we get that? Do you understand that? I'm not against nice car. I'm not against nice house. This place costs money. But we don't put emphasis on money. Is that all right? And I know many of us, when we get blessed, you turn around and give to God. Today you are giving 5 naira. It doesn't matter. One day you're going to give 50,000, 100,000. Let me tell you. There was one young man who came to our church years ago. He just come to church. He was living at Ijayi that time. And he was going to Abeokuta Grammar School. Life was difficult. My wife will pack rice, beans sometimes for him. I gave him my jacket. Later I left. I didn't hear about him again. One day he just came back. He's now a medical doctor. And when we are building here, he gave us 180,000 naira. Phew. That's it. Are you hearing me? I know this person, there are people that are connected with the person over here. I know a lady years ago that was in our church, life was very tough. She was a single parent. Things are really tough. But you know, later she would send me money. Say, Reverend, use this, do that. Oh, I remember, I don't want to mention because, you know, people that are connected to her are in church over here. He said, Reverend, when I was there alone, church was there with me. But now, I'm in US now. What do you want from church? I'll say, I will think about it. See, that's the way it is. Nobody gets to be influenced for good and doesn't want to bless people back. So our pastors are doing that because I want to arrive. Are you hearing me? I never pass one day by camp, residential camp, and say, Oluwa, Baba Adeboye ne camp. I must have camp in Abeokuta. And I make all of you go to the bush. and start doing camp, a mosquito will bite you now. You have one serious malaria. Huh? No. I'll take my time. I'll walk with God and I'll relax. Is that all right? The greatest thing is that your life changed for the better. In fact, you should be richer than church. Let me make you laugh. One guy came years ago. He wrote a paper. And he said, I just got this, Pastor. He came back. It was a plan for a Rock Foundation College. That was to start a college in the. I said, you got the plan. You can do it yourself. Go and do it yourself. He said, Reverend. I said, Benny, go and do it yourself. I let you have the universities, run the stove, build the businesses, and run it well. Just not be running everything. It's becoming really tough. Are you hearing me? I mean, running bakery, running something. So I don't have time to come and talk about what I should do, reading, studying to make you grow. But you should do all those things and increase and enlarge. Praise the Lord, somebody. And employ people. Praise God. Praise God. Last question. Let's leave here. No more question. Oh, you got a question? Fantastic. Thank you. Last one. Let's go. Good afternoon, Yann.
Yes, sir. My question is, let's take for instance.
Okay.
I am someone blessed by the Lord.
What?
I am someone blessed by the Lord to give to people.
To people?
Yes, sir. So, I do come to church, but as blessed as I am supposed to give offering like, let me say, 5,000 naira.
Yeah.
But I'm someone that I don't like giving in church. I just give.
I don't like giving in church?
Yeah, I just give 15 naira.
You hate church?
Not that I hate church, but I don't like giving in church. Though if I don't give, another person will give.
Yeah.
So, I want to ask that if I give to people outside more than I give to God, when I give to church, I give to God. Is he a sin?
Why are you asking?
Yeah, I know it's a sin, but at least I give to other people outside.
You can see something. Now, listen. Please, can I beg you? Don't give in church because it's church. Give as you are honoring God. Is that all right? Give, you are honoring God. So that church you are giving to, you should be giving not to church, but to honoring God. So if you are going to, you people outside, you honor them, right? You want to help them. But how much do you honor God? That will influence what you give in church. Not because church doesn't need your money. No, that's not it. All right, great, beautiful. Offerings should be given as honoring God, not just, okay, let's sing choir and get out of here. We're through with our questions.